Okay, so the question is, what about the Israel lobby?
Israel lobby?
Is it honestly, simply the U.S. president that influences Israel? What about Congress? What about AIPAC? What about the Zionist lobby?
Well, I mean, there's this big lobby, undoubtedly. Part of it is what's called the Israel lobby, AIPAC, let's say. Actually, there's a much bigger lobby. It's the Christian right lobby, Christian religious lobby. Take a look at the Hegel hearings, okay? They're very interesting. In the Hegel hearings, the Republicans were going after him, you know, hammer and tongs, mostly on Israel. He wasn't strong enough on Israel. Who votes for Republicans? And who gives money to Republicans? Jewish money and Jewish votes go to the Democrats, overwhelmingly. But the Republicans have a base, Christian evangelical base. And that's happened in the last 20 years. As the Republican Party kind of drifted off the spectrum, they stopped being a political party. They're just, you know, lockstep subservience to wealth and corporate power. They had to do something to get votes. And to get votes, they had to mobilize parts of the population, which have always been there, but weren't politically mobilized. This is a very religious country, probably more so than Iran. You know, I've never seen a poll, but I doubt that in Iran, half the population thinks the world was created a couple thousand years ago. That's not a joke. And they weren't politically mobilized before, but now they are, and the Republicans need them. That's their voting base. Also, nativists, you know, guys racing around, they have to collect guns because the federal government's coming after us. And these things have always been there, but now that's the Republican base. And you saw that in the Hegel hearings. Those people are passionately pro-Israel and fanatically anti-Semitic. It combines. You take a look at the theology. It's worth looking at. The theology is we got to have a war between the Jews and the Arabs, and they all slaughter each other at Armageddon, and the saved souls rise to heaven. Everyone else goes to eternal damnation, except for 144,000 Jews who converted in time, found Christ in time. And Jesus comes down, you know, 1,000 years of peace, on and on. You know, an awful lot of the country believes this. Actually, people like George Bush probably believed it. And that's not a joke. There's evidence for it. But it's a very powerful, in fact, Christian Zionism altogether goes back way before Jewish Zionism as an elite phenomenon. Lord Balfour, you know, Woodrow Wilson, Harold Ickes in the Roosevelt administration. I mean, all of these guys were Christian Zionists. You read the Bible says, you know, God told Abraham, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the chosen people have to go back to Palestine. The others don't belong there. They're Canaanites or something. And that's a big strain in first British and then American policy. And it's had its effects, like the Balfour Declaration, say, and many other things. And it's now showing up. It's being combined now with an ultra-right Christian evangelical base, which is huge. And it very dramatically showed up in the Hegel hearings. I mean, most of the senators don't give a damn one way or another. They're placating their base. But that's the way you do it. And it wasn't AIPAC. AIPAC kept quite quiet. So yeah, AIPAC's real. It's a significant lobby. There are other lobbies. Actually, the biggest pro-Israel lobby is probably military and intelligence military industry. They're very close connections with Israel. Very close. If you looked at the WikiLeaks, one of the interesting WikiLeaks exposures didn't get much publicity, unfortunately, was a list of strategically parts of the world that were so strategically significant that we just had to maintain them, defend them. One of them was Rafael Military Industries, right outside Haifa, which is an advanced military production installation. It's one of the places they develop drones, very tightly connected with U.S. military industry. In fact, so tightly connected that a couple of years ago, Rafael shifted their management offices to Washington so they'd be closer to the money. That's a big, they're powerful. I mean, they're way more powerful than AIPAC, you know. They really have power. The American corporate sector, if it wants, I mean, if you know, one of the weaknesses in this Israeli lobby argument, which, I mean, it's real, you know, I don't doubt that they're significant, but think through the consequences. I mean, suppose the Israeli lobby was really, like, say, Mearsheimer and Waltz, suppose that it was harming U.S. interests. Okay, I don't know, what are U.S. interests supposed to be? Well, U.S. interests, operative U.S. interests are corporate interests. And a lot of, you know, nonsense in the field, but that's in reality what they are. So suppose they're harming corporate interests. Well, there's a tactical consequence. There's a tactical advice follows from that, which strikingly nobody follows. The tactical advice is we should stop doing things like this. We should stop working on boycotts and sanctions and educational programs. People like me should put on our ties and jackets, go to the headquarters of General Electric and Lockheed Martin and so on, and just explain to them politely that a lobby that you can put out of business in 5 minutes is harming your interests. And once they understand that, they'll see it and everything will be fine. Nobody suggests that. And there's a good reason for it. It's total nonsense, of course. But that's what follows from the assumption that this lobby is so powerful that they're harming the interests of really powerful sections of the corporate system that can put them out of business in no time. You know? So yes, it's a powerful ethnic lobby, no doubt about it. And it kind of gets its way on things that don't matter that much to power interests.